Open up your Bibles to the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. We'll be in verses 7 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, and we'll read all the way to verse 16. This is the word of God for us. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions on earth? He who descends is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro from by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's pray. Father God, we humbled our hearts before you, knowing that we are dust, knowing that we are weak, knowing that we fall short. And I know that your word is alive, and it works its intent in our hearts. And so we ask of your help that we might examine our hearts this morning in light of what you have for us. We thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage we just read is a beautiful picture of what it means to be members of a local church, member of the body of Christ, a member who's vitally connected to the whole body. And Paul is continuing what he began here in chapter 4, verse 1, which we looked at 2 weeks ago. Paul urges each believer to what? To walk, to live in a manner that is worthy to our calling. And we saw that God has called us, and in God saving us through his Son, Jesus Christ, he has joined us together to make one body. We are all one. We saw that we are one spirit. We alone are joined together. We have all in common. We all have one hope, one spirit, one baptism, one faith, one Lord, one God and Father. And he called us to guard our unity through loving one another with humility, gentleness, and patience. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that God hasn't just brought us together to be together, and merely to love one another for the sake of keeping peace and avoiding conflict. There's something God wants us to do. Now we're in chapter 4, moving all the way to chapter 6, our participation in walking alongside the Spirit. He's calling us, want us to do something. He has called us to do a great work. A great work, brothers and sisters, that there's no time for petty arguments. God has given us each other, like it or not. He's given us one another. He has bonded us together for a great work. We have a role to play within the body. There is a purpose, and God has brought us to Himself so you and I can play a part in this great work of transforming people. He has set us free from sin and all selfishness so that we all could resemble our Lord Jesus. Now, we know that God has been doing a good work in us individually, but He's also making out of us a diverse group of people, a picture for the world. Because the world looks at the church, at the local church. Christ is building the body here on earth, the church, and building His body. And building up the body of Christ is a work of membership. It isn't the work only for the elders of the local church. It's not only for a few highly, very dedicated, very motivated volunteers within the local church. No, the work is for everyone. Every Christian has a role to play in the body expressed in the local church. And you know what, brothers and sisters, we have everything we need. And so I want us to reflect our life together. I want us to reflect, examine our lives together as we walk through this passage in four subheadings. It's right there in your bulletin. I want us to see that Jesus has gifted each Christian differently. I want us to know that Jesus gave leaders to equip the saints. I want you to know that the goal of building up, what's the purpose of building up the body of Christ? And how do we do that? How do the saints build up the body of Christ? And so Paul here in verse 7, he begins to talk about that Jesus has gifted each Christian differently. As we saw in the first six verses 2 weeks ago, we saw that every Christian has in common. We saw that. We all share one God. We all share the Father. We all share the Lord. One faith, one hope. All of us here as Christians and members of this local body, we all share these things. We don't have a different Lord or a different Father. We share one, only one. And now it seems that Paul shifts here in verse 7. He's speaking of Jesus giving each one of us, or a Christian, a gift. A gift given according to the measure of His gift to each one of us by grace. Look again there in verse 7. It says, but grace was given to each one of us according to what? To the measure of Christ's gift. Paul shifts from what we all share to know to each individual by grace. He has been given a different, a particular, a specific gift by our conquering King. King Jesus has given each one of us a particular measure of grace. I mean, we all heard what grace means. Grace is undeserved favor or undeserved gift. We haven't earned anything. We don't deserve anything. It comes out, it flows out from who Christ is by His grace. And we looked at this in chapter 2, that we have been saved by what? By grace. Amen? Salvation has come to us freely. We don't earn it or deserve it. Because if it depended on us, brothers and sisters, we will never would receive it. Salvation, forgiveness, adoptions, new life, it comes by grace through faith in Jesus, in Him alone. This is what we all call, or theologians call, saving grace. And here Paul is not talking about saving grace. He is speaking about gifting each member with a particular gift according to his measure, according to his grace. You and I did not merit these gifts that we hold. he has given to us by his grace. Now, if we read the Bible, we will notice in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, in the book of Corinthians, we hear about these gifts. In 1 Peter, we hear about the gifts that God has given to each and one of his daughters and sons. People who trust in Jesus Christ, who are saved, they receive the Holy Spirit. It comes to indwell them, and he gives, according to his grace, new abilities, gifts. These gifts are from his grace. And they're different. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, that there are various of gifts, and that to each Christian is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The Spirit gives some to teach, some to lead, some to administer, some to serve, some to show mercy. And each particular gift is empowered by Christ, by the Spirit of God. Now here, Paul says that the gift was measured out specifically for each of us. That grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. What does that mean? Well, it is according to Jesus' particular knowledge of you. He knows you. We also have heard that it's according to the good works God has prepared in advance for us to what? To walk in. But it's according to his particular knowledge of you, to the measure of knowing you. He's going to give it to you according to what he knows you, knows about you. When I used to work at Cardinal Health, and I had to travel for work, my family, they would get sad, but at the same time, they would get really happy. Not because I was leaving. But because of what would happen when I landed here at the airport. There was some excitement. Daddy is back. The family knew, my daughter and my son, they knew they were going, we were going to go out to eat. We were going to spend time together. But not only that, they were excited because I was bringing some gifts for them. When I was remembering this, I could remember Jonathan's face. Man, he was so excited, you know, to see me first, amen, and then for the gift. And he would always say, "May I help you with your suitcase, right? Your baggage, let me help you." And he's just staring at it, and I was, "Jonathan, hold on right now." Couldn't wait. But I had specific gifts to hand out to each one of them. Based on what? My knowledge of them. Isabel had her gifts. Hannah had her gifts. And Jonathan had their gifts. I made sure that I would give them according to the knowledge that I had of them. And that's how Christ is. He gave us, by his grace, a measure because of the knowledge he has of us. It was according to Jesus' particular knowledge of us and of the good works God has prepared in advance for us to walk in. And look at this. Look at verse 8, because Paul, in order to further his argument, in order to further to understand that we have been given a gift by Christ, he quotes Psalm 68, verse 18, here in verse 8. It says, "Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to who? To men." When we look at Psalm 68, we see a picture of God as a great warrior, a king who ascended to Jerusalem, to Mount Zion. He had just arrived from a great victory, leading a host of captives, capture enemies. And now he freely is sharing all the spoils of that victory to his people. He is the one who won the victory, but he shares it, all the benefits of his victory, with his beloved children, with his beloved ones. And Paul says that Jesus is a conquering king who descended from heaven to earth to do battle. To battle with sin, to battle with death, to battle against Satan. Those are the enemies that he defeated on the cross. He defeated sin. Sin can no longer condemn us because he suffered our condemnation for us. He defeated death. Death had no longer separated us from God. It just carried us to his presence. He defeated Satan on the cross. Satan, who accuses us and makes some people afraid, but he has broken that power. Jesus defeated his enemies through death. He rose triumphantly over them, and he what? He ascended on high. He ascended far above all the heavens, as verse 10 says, that he might fill all things, victorious over all. And now what does Christ do? Victorious, he freely shares with all his people, with all of us, the spoils of victory. He pours out his grace on us. He poured out on us his Spirit, and with his Spirit, this gives different to each one of us. So maybe you're wondering right now, what gift of grace has Jesus gifted me? What grace, what gift of grace has Christ given me to contribute to the body? What is it that he has given me that is for the common good here with my brothers and sisters? Again, King Jesus has given us a particular gift for the common good. He has gifted you. I mean, some he has gifted us with one, two, or three gifts, but we all have one gift. You're probably thinking, what gift do I have? I've been in this body for 10, 5 years, 20 years. What is the gift Christ has given me to for the common good of his body? Well, we could start by looking at Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 there, and there's a list of spiritual gifts. Maybe you have difficulty looking and examining, what gift has Christ given me? It might be that you already have it, know it, but maybe you haven't used it. Maybe you're here and you know the gift Jesus has gifted you by his grace. And the question for you is, are you working that gift for the common good of his people? Here is very clear that King Jesus wants you to serve his church. He has gifted you with a particular gift, not to hold it, but for the common good. Now, second, Jesus gave leaders. Jesus gave leaders to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body, the members. Look with me in verse 11. And he, Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, the shepherds, or pastors, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The question is, who does the work of the ministry? Who does the work of the ministry? Is it just the leaders of the church? I don't read this here. It says here, the saints equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Paul says that among Jesus' gift to his people are leaders to equip the members to build the body for the work of ministry. And so the work of ministry is for all of us. So who are these leaders? Well, Paul starts with the apostles and prophets, and he's already talked about them earlier in this letter. Chapter 2, verse 20, he said that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. In chapter 3, we saw that in verse 5, the mystery that was hidden and now has been revealed, that mystery was given to the apostles and prophets. This mystery of what? Intending the Gentiles to be what? Part of his church. And so, the apostles and prophets, they were those who spoke God's truth about Jesus to the first church, to the first Christians. They're the foundation. Who is the cornerstone? Christ. The apostles were witness of Jesus' resurrection, sent out to tell what he has done, who he is. Remember, the apostles, they had to be called by the resurrected Christ. Those were the true apostles. The prophets, they were the ones who would speak what God had revealed to them by the Spirit. Together, they laid the foundation of truth on which the church has been building for 2,000 years. And so we see their teaching. Their teaching is recorded in the New Testament. Now, it's true that today, there are some who call themselves what? Prophets and apostles. And many believe that those are still ongoing spiritual gifts, but the apostles and prophet Paul is talking about here were God's gift to the early church. Those have ceased. Now, if we look at apostles, some people call themselves apostles, but they're probably like missionaries. The prophets, they're not used like in the first century in the early church, that they would get revelation from God and they would speak God's word. The New Testament hadn't been written. But now, when we look at prophecy, it's now when we prophesy, proclaim the word of God. So right now, I'm prophesying, proclaiming the truth of God's word. When you share the gospel to someone else from Scripture, you're prophesying. But here he's speaking of those that gives that foundation where the church is built on. Now the next leaders are evangelists. Now we all know that as Christians we're all called to share the gospel, right? In one sense we're all evangelists. But this is a particular gift as evangelists. These people, they are just gifted. They always seem to find themselves in conversation about Jesus. People they don't know. And they invite and they persuade with them to trust in Christ. And by God's power, people respond. I actually was able to see this in a young man, which is a young pastor here in El Paso. He has that gift of evangelism. I mean, he'll find something, a detail, and he'll start a conversation that will lead to Christ. I went with him on a trip, and the Uber driver, he had his name Mahamahamun, and you know where that name comes from India, right? And he says, hey, I'm interested in your name, and he started that conversation. Who gave you that name, your dad, your mom? And it was leading up to the true and living God. Evangelists are a gift to the church because they can equip us to do the same work. We can learn from what they're doing and use it in our relationship with people who don't know Jesus. Now, the last group of leaders here, he mentions the shepherds, which it means the pastors, and teachers. I want you to understand that shepherds and teachers, they have a distinct role. They're distinct. But yet, Paul here puts them together because they're so closely related. Because pastors, shepherds, they feed the sheep. And how do they do it? They do it by teaching. And one of the pastor's primary responsibilities is to give God's people the nourishment their souls need by preaching and teaching the truth of God's word. Not only do they teach, not only do they preach the word of God, they protect the sheep from false teachers. As we saw in our members' meeting, our role, we're overseeing your life. We're protecting you, we're caring for you. We lead the flock together in the goodness of God's way. But I want you to understand that not all teachers are pastors. Now, let me say this. Because there might be extraordinarily gifted and faithful teachers here among the local church. And I believe we do. Teachers who serve adults, who serve our children. But I want us not to lose the big picture here. What do all this have in common? This gives these five leaders, what do they all have in common? Well, that they what? Speak. They all speak. They're equipping. They're equipping the saints, the members, all of us to do what? The work of ministry, to build the body of Christ. King Jesus has gifted us all, and he has given to his church leaders, elders to equip, pastors to equip you all, the saints for the work of the ministry. Brothers and sisters, Pastor John and I, we are here to encourage, sorry, don't be sorry. Pastor John and I, we are here to encourage you, to teach you, equip you for the work of ministry. We are here working together to build each other up. The pastors here at Mountainside, we want to equip you well. You take the truth you know, the gift God has given you, to put it to work for the building of the body. And I pray that you are deeply encouraged this morning that King Jesus has gifted you and given you pastors who come alongside you to equip you, to teach you for the work of the ministry, to build up the body, to be part of his great work Jesus is doing, building a people to reveal himself to the world. And he has gifted us. He's gifted you for this great work, to be part of this wonderful work of ministry. Listen, church. I have to bring my example of sports, a team. Together, all of us, we're all starters in God's team. I know some of you may laugh at others and say, maybe that, not my brother or sister. No, we're all starters here in God's team. Jesus did not gift you to be sidelined, to be on the bench. Even if you're the water guy, you're standing, you're serving. But you're gifted, has been given to you by grace, not to be on the sideline, not to be sitting on the bench. No, don't have that mentality. Don't think that you don't have anything to contribute. You do. Jesus gave leaders to equip the members. Pastor and I, we sit down, we talk. We talk about all of you guys. How are they gifted? How can we encourage them? How can we equip them? How can we lead them for the work of the ministry? But for what purpose? What is the aim? Third, the goal of building is unity and maturity. Paul says that we are to build each other up until, look at verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, one, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood or adulthood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What's the goal? What's the goal of building is unity and maturity. Paul's saying that as we grow in our knowledge of our faith that comes from the Bible and from the knowledge of the Son of God, who is Jesus, we will cling to each other. We will attain unity. And we are supposed to be working together to grow in the knowledge of our faith, what we believe, and of the Son of God who came from heaven to rescue us, who loved us and gave himself for us. The more each of our lives is centered on the truth about Jesus, the more we will attain what? Unity. Church, what unites us is that we all know and want to better know the Son of God. So let me ask you, do you want a united church? Do you want a united mountainside Bible church united? Do you want that? A church where we don't end relationship over petty issues or secondary matters, where we can disagree deeply and love forever. Where people can fail and be forgiven instead of being forsaken. Do you want a united church? We can build one by pointing one another to who? To Jesus. Reminding one another of his goodness, sharing with one another of his greatness. And as we grow in knowing Jesus, the Son of God, we will what? Attain this unity, maintain it. But not only that, we will what? We will mature together. Paul says in verse 13, manhood, full-grown man, which he says, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Mature Christians, brothers and sisters, they look like Christ. And mature Christians, or mature churches of mature Christians, they look like Christ. When we grow mature together, the whole life together of the church takes on the flavor of the character of Christ himself. Brothers and sisters, the work of the ministry is building each other up to attain unity and maturity. Some of us are mature in the faith. We are mature in the knowledge of the Son of God. And some of us are immature. Some of us are still babies, children. And so the work of the ministry is what? Is for those who are mature, work with those who are immature, who are children, in their knowledge of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Working so that all together can mature. So look with me in verse 14. So that we may no longer be children tossed to fro by the waves and carried about every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. You know that immature Christians and babies in the Lord are vulnerable to believing everything. And so Paul gives us a picture, right? He gives us this picture about a spiritual children, a baby or immature. They are like boats on a violent sea, right? Tossing from here and there by the waves and carried about every wind of doctrine by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Yes, brothers, yes, there's such things as what? False teachers. There are some false teachers who misinterpret the Bible. Some of them, they twist what the Bible says for their own gain. Not because they're just reading a verse from the Bible makes them this great teachers. No, they're teaching, they're misinterpreting the Bible for their own gain. And you know, spiritual newborns, they hear something and they go that way. They hear another thing, they go the other way. Same with immature Christians. Now, there's a level of maturity why we're all supposed to be growing and helping each other in our knowledge of our faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. It's not only for the leaders. It's for all of us. For the mature members to come alongside those immature, those children to come alongside and help them with patience, with humility, and gentleness. I know we could get impatient, like, oh, how many years? 12? Oh, you still? It's easy for us to get impatient. But the Lord says, hey, I was patient with you for 40 years. But you see, the sad thing, which is sad, is that mature Christians within the local church, they see who's immature, right? And they say what? It's not my work. It's not my deal. And what does Christ say here? I gifted you. We all work together in the ministry. It takes me back. When I see unity, I always see team. When I was in high school, sorry guys, you hear, you know, for the rest of, I don't know if in heaven I'm going to be talking about basketball, but I hope we do. But in my senior year, you know, coach was all about unity, team. And I remember, right, he took us out to the track, and he said, okay, we're going to run one lap, and you all have to make it under a minute. I was like, I could do that. And other people, oh, yeah, let's go, ready? All right. Blows a whistle, we all run. I barely make it. Others, we barely make it together, right? And they were like, ah, mom. And I look back. All over there, Tony Quesada, our friend, he's like 6'7", you know, heavy build. We're all waiting for him. Oh, man, it's Tony, come on, man. Coach goes, you know what? We're going to do it again. Oh, come on, Tony. You know, we did it two more times. And he's like, guys, we're a team here. And it clicked. It was not who made it in 1 minute. It was if we carried along working together to accomplish one goal, make it to the end together. And I was tired. We were all tired. I said, hey, guys, I got Tony from his shirt. I'm going to pull him. And you guys four back there, you push him. And that's what we did. He's all like, puffy, because this was already our fourth lap. See, we work together in this beautiful, great work that Christ has given us with these gifts of grace so that we could mature to the stature of the fullness of Christ. No one gets left behind. Everyone plays a role. And the way we build each other up is the last part, speaking truth in love. The way the saints build up the body of Christ is by speaking truth and love. Look at verse 15, or the middle of verse 15. We don't want to remain children, right? So rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way in Him who is ahead into Christ. We grow up in Christ. We grow up into Christ by speaking the truth in love. I want you to understand that neither will do without the other truth, right? Without love, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, it's just like a clanging cymbal, just noise that does nobody any good. Love without truth is just superficial display of tender emotions. Superficial, and will never get us to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. But truth and love is a nourishment that takes spiritual children to spiritual adulthood. And we all grow in every way as we speak to each other. But I know, because this happened to me. When we hear speak truth in love, we almost automatically think what? Rebuke. Right? I'm guilty of that. I got to speak to my brother, my sister. I got to speak to them the truth in love. And I just want to rebuke them. I want to have to tell him something true to deliver to them. But you see, we got to do it with what? Humility, gentle, and patience. You know, it's certainly true. We need to exhort one another, yes. But what truth are we speaking? My opinion? Or is it the truth of the Word of God? It says speaking truth in love, but what is truth? Again, the letter tells us what Paul means to speak the word of truth in love. He already spoke in chapter 1, verse 13, when you heard the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation and believed in him. Speaking the truth in love is reminding each other that Christ died for our sins, that through faith we have peace with him, that we are righteous in God's sight because of Christ's righteousness. And we are beloved in his heart. We remind each other that we are saved by grace, not by our performance. We speak the truth to each other in love because we forget. We need to speak the truth, the gospel, to one another in love because we care. We remind ourselves with the gospel truth. And we need to be speaking it to each other in love. Because I hope that there is this deep affection for your brother and sisters in the Lord. Speaking truth in love takes in many forms. How can we speak the truth to one another in love? How? For example, we need to speak the gospel to counsel, comfort each other, to encourage one another, to live out the gospel, walk in a manner that is worthy of our calling. We need to exhort one another with the gospel. We need to instruct one another in things we don't understand well. We need to speak the gospel to each other in seasons of suffering. Also, it takes the form of singing the truth in love to one another on Sunday morning. How many of us love to sing? I hope you say amen. God loves to sing us as well. He sings to us. I love hearing you guys sing. Once in a while, I'll take a peek who's singing. I do. I love it. Because it's not about the brothers and sisters who are up here singing and playing an instrument. It doesn't even matter if you're all out of pitch. It doesn't. Amen. My daughter Hannah, she sings out of pitch, but she gives it all for the glory of God. I mean, I heard Christians like, hey, man, don't sing at home. No. And when we sing, we are singing truths. We're singing the gospel in love to one another. He is working all things for our good, for his glory. It takes many forms how we speak the truth in love. Now, for us to do this well, we must have relationship with one another that goes beyond the superficial. We need to come to know one another well enough to know what truthfully means, to take a risk. I mean, we have to take a risk of opening our lives to one another. We have a role to play in this great work of ministry. We have been given a grace gift from our King Jesus to use it to build up the body in unity and maturity. And lastly, let me just finish here. Building each other up doesn't all depend on us. Look at the second part of 15 and verse 16. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by who? By Christ. By every joint with which it is equipped, every joint is equipped with each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up, once again, in love. Let me simplify here what Paul is saying. He's saying from Christ, the whole body makes the body grow. He uses the whole body, but the growth comes from him. We grow from him. Now, we each need to make sure that as a body part, we're working properly. Paul says that it's important serving according to our different gifts, speaking the truth in love. Brother Charlie read from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, to be good stewards of God's grace. He's given us a gift, a particular gift to what? To serve one another. It's for the work of the ministry. And so we unite around the knowledge of Jesus, and through his grace, we grow into the likeness of Jesus. And you know what? God is glorified. He's glorified in the church. Mountainside, Jesus gives what we need to build his body to mature. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord and King Jesus, you are the head of the church and of this local church. You, as a conquering king, you destroyed our enemies. You destroyed them through death And you rose triumphantly over them and ascended far above the heavens so that you might fill all things. You are victorious. You are victorious over all. And now you freely share with all of us the spoils of victory. You have poured out grace on us and have given us gifts, different gifts to each one of us for the work of ministry, for the building of the body. And you alone empower us to build each other up. I pray that we would want to build one another up, that we want to grow together in the knowledge of our faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. We want the world around us to see not just our individual lives, but our life together and recognize in us your likeness, Jesus Christ. And so we pray, Father, that you will work by your Spirit and build us into the head, into Christ, for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name.